Good morning, everyone. Well, it's by the grace of God that a congregation such as ours is permitted to gather together out in the open for a worship service. There's no need to fear the sharing of God's word, or to worship, or to break bread. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we gather together, help us to recognize that living life together in harmony is a blessing. Help us to be mindful of those brothers and sisters that are unable to meet together, such as Christians that are in prison for their faith, for those who are sick and hospitalized, for those who are just plain lonely, and those that live in countries where they cannot reveal their faith without the risk of persecution. They are well aware of the value of fellowship and the amazing blessing of being with one another. Help us to realize that what we have is an amazing blessing from God. Thank you for the body of believers we call Community Christian Fellowship. The title of the message God has laid on my heart is Life Together. We will look into the three words, Community Christian Fellowship, and what those words meant to the early church. I don't know about you, but personally, I cannot think of a better name for a church than this. By writing out a statement using the definition of each word, this is what I wrote: a unified body of individuals with a common belief in Christ living in a particular area. So the title of today's message is Life Together. It is hard to comprehend all the thousands of churches that meet on this Lord's Day. According to God's will, churches are scattered like seed upon the earth. When it comes to fellowship, the physical presence of other Christians is a source of joy. When Christians come together, there is a strength and encouragement that others around the world yearn for. When Paul was in prison, living out his last days, he wrote two letters to Timothy. Timothy was one of Paul's converts. Paul referred to Timothy in the first letter as my true child in the faith. Paul had decided to take Timothy with him on his second missionary journey. Imagine getting trained by the Apostle Paul. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul wrote these words: Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. According to this first letter Paul wrote, Timothy was having a hard time in Ephesus to the point where he wanted to leave. This may have been the reason for his tears. But when reading both of Paul's letters in Timothy, you really get the feel, the emotion and the pastoral heart of Paul. You also get a sense of the full meaning of fellowship as he gives Timothy words of encouragement. I have no doubt that those words of encouragement to Timothy was passed on to the believers, the church in Ephesus. I'd like to think that all the members of that church were lifted up, and how they must have been encouraged and encouraged one another, with the entire church being edified and made stronger. Then Paul wrote to Timothy, again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 7. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Timothy had neglected his spiritual gift, and the flame was low on the altar of his heart. In verse 7, this word fear means cowardice. Cowardice and timidity hinders a person's efforts to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the courage and the strength to go out and share God's word to others. Paul tells Timothy not to be ashamed. And from our experience, you know that serving others and sharing God's word is the best way to use our spiritual gifts, whatever that may be with you, and to allow the Holy Spirit to fan the flame of your heart. At the end of the second letter, Paul asked Timothy to make every effort to come before winter. That's how much Paul was yearning for fellowship with Timothy. In 1 Thessalonians, we see this written by Paul. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gap in your faith. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you very soon. When you start feeling weak and overwhelmed, like many of us do, remember that others are praying for you, which is a great benefit to fellowship. It's a great benefit to be in a church like ours, where we know prayers are effective. You have read enough of Paul's writings to know how critical he was in living in the flesh and its desires. But here, he feels no shame when he expresses his yearning to see Timothy face to face. It is encouraging when we can be among one another in the presence of one another, such as a time like this morning. But again, it demonstrates once more how badly Paul wanted to see him in person and the importance of fellowship. And I want to turn to John when he writes in 2 John. He says this, I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink. For I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face, Then our joy will be complete. In this verse, John makes it clear that the reason for ending his letter at this point was not that he ran out of subject matter. I don't want to use paper and ink was an unusual expression, but the meaning was clear. He is saying, I have much to write to you, but I prefer talk rather than writing. Now, in today's world, if he was to be living now, he'd say, I am tired of texting. Let's have coffee. But back to Paul, with Christ the chief cornerstone, there are four building blocks needed for spiritually healthy fellowship. There is hope. Believing in Christ is our blessed hope. There is joy. There is love. And there's peace. And when I speak of building up the church, I'm not talking about a physical building. You know that. I'm talking about building up one another in Christ. The foundation, obviously, is Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone. But there are four blocks that may sound simple, but they are vital for a spiritually healthy community. The first is hope. Paul writes to the Romans and says this, the church in Rome, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you overflowing with hope in Christ today? You see here who is the author of conversion, the author of hope. For a believer to come to Christ, a person must open their hearts to attend to the things that are spoken. Like, I hope you come to listen today. The truths that are presented to you will not convert. The God of hope must breathe upon the heart and cause the growth. The second is joy. A person in the congregation believing in Christ gives people joy and peace. And when Jesus reveals himself to Thomas, what did Thomas cry out? My Lord and my God. He cried out with joy, my Lord and my God. When Jesus reveals himself to you in his word, and in all the glory of his person and the completeness of his work and the freeness of his love, you too will be filled with joyful faith and you too will cry out, my Lord and my God. You feel that joy? John 15 says that Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It is a difficult thing to explain what it is to believe, isn't it? Sometimes when you look at someone you're sharing with that doesn't know the Lord, you're thinking, if he only knew. If he only knew. And like Vance Havner says, one day when the skies part and the Lord comes, it's going to be pretty hard to say. It's going to be pretty hard not to say, I told you so. It is a difficult thing to explain, you believe. But in some ways it is impossible. But when Jesus unveils his matchless beauty and gives you a sweet glimpse of his matchless face, then the soul joyfully clings to him. This is believing. Trying to put believing into words. And this is joy and peace that comes with believing. The fullest and purest joy flows from a discovery of Jesus Christ. He is the hidden treasure that gives us joy to the finder. The question is, are you searching or just content with what you know? The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get money to buy the field. Do you think you have found that treasure? If not, you are a poor man indeed. But if your answer is yes, you are feeling that joy. How much joy may you have in Christ? May the Lord of hope fill you with joy. If you really come to Christ, you come to love the Almighty God. He is a filling God. You need not to be afraid of God's love and joy. This is you. And this is God's joy. And when God gives you joy, it overflows. When God gives you mercy, it overflows. And when God gives you grace and blessings, it overflows. Are you overflowing with joy this morning? I hope so. That took a while to do. In 1 John, it says this. This one who is life itself has revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. Not just has eternal life, but is eternal life. He was with the Father and then was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. One important characteristic of fellowship is this. Christians need each other to speak God's word to one another, to serve one another, and to love one another for his glory. The third building block in a healthy fellowship is love. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. When we walk this journey through life, there are times of discouragement and uncertainty. When we walk with each other and we come into pain, we feel that pain. When you had a surgery, when you lose someone, there's a number of things We have each other. This alone clarifies the community Christian fellowship. Christ and the righteousness we receive from him will bring us in common and in unity. Paul also writes, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other. For God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. God has taught us to love. He's done that already. He demonstrated his love even while we were yet sinners. All we can do to show love toward God and to one another, that's what we can do. And even though we love one another, we are admonished and instructed by Scripture to excel even more. When he won our hearts by his love, this was the beginning of our instruction in divine love. When God was merciful to us, we learned to be merciful to one another. When we receive forgiveness instead of judgment, we too are made to forgive our brothers and sisters. The more we receive, the more we are able to give. The bottom line is this: what God did for us, we now owe to one another. The more we receive, the more we are able to give. The more meager our love for one another, the less we are living by God's mercy and love. God himself taught us to meet one another as Christ also received us into glory. The fourth building block is peace. A Christian comes to others through Jesus Christ. Among men, there is strife, Paul says. Paul says this: Jesus Christ is our peace. In Ephesians, he writes, without Christ, there is discord between God and man and between man and man. Christ became the mediator between man and God. Without Christ, we cannot know God. We could not call upon him. Without Christ, we could not come to him. But without Christ, we would not know our brother. With him, Christians can live in peace. We can love and serve one another, and we can become one. But we can only do this through Christ. Through him, we are bound together in one. From now to eternity, he remains our mediator. Christian community means community through and in Jesus Christ. Like I said in the beginning, it is God's will for the people of God are scattered like seed upon the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in the churches right now. God's people must dwell throughout the entire world to unbelievers. That's our job. When God's Son took on flesh, he became like us through pure grace. This is how we know our triune God. Now we are in him, and he is in us. We are in him on the cross and in his resurrection and with his Spirit. We belong to him because we are his. He bought us. He redeemed us. That is why the scripture calls us the body of Christ. That's what we're called, the body of Christ. In the meantime, Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so, according to God's word, This commandment is being fulfilled throughout the world. God's church is planting seed under the direction and authority of God. And there will be one day when Christ shall gather together in one all the children of God who are scattered abroad will finally be brought together as one. Matthew tells us that Jesus said, and he will send forth his angels with great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the sky to the other. Until then, God's people will be scattered, held together solely by Jesus Christ. So between the death of Christ and the last days, it is only by gracious anticipation that we wait for his return. And in the meantime, it's a privilege for us to have fellowship with one another. In Romans it says, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Our community with one another consists solely of what Christ has done for us. This is not only true now, but it is true for the future and for eternity. The more genuine and the deeper our fellowship becomes, the more will everything else between us recede. And the more clearly and purely will Jesus Christ and his word become the one and only thing that is vital between us. It is not just an ideal we have. It is reality. And we're living it.